FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and today is February 1st, 2017. Man, this year is just going by, hard to believe. And, well, hey, life just goes by a lot faster than you ever believe, which is why 6 in 10 Americans don't even have $5,000 in savings. Because you know what happens is you keep saying, well, I'm going to save soon. I'll put the money aside. I will start saving very shortly. And life happens and you never get around to it. And before you know it, it's time to retire. And you wind up, you're working as a greeter in Walmart, or you're a cashier in a mini mart at a gas station. And, you know, it's not a real pleasant experience. Now, look, people, you're living longer. You're healthier than your parents or your grandparents, so that's a good thing. But wouldn't you rather have a plan in place to enjoy those years? I mean, maybe you don't want to fully retire. Maybe you want to have some meaningful work or volunteer, help people. You know, all of us would rather do that. But look, don't be forced to work, have to hold down two part-time jobs in your retirement. And that's what our next guest, Anthony Saccaro, that's what he specializes in. Anthony, you're kind of an interesting person. You've been a financial planner for a long time, and now you're in law school, which I find fascinating, having practiced law myself for 30 years and retired not too long ago. So welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Kerry, for having me. I appreciate being here.
Hey, well, you know, we do have a savings crisis in this country. And there's solutions out there, but you have to start doing it earlier rather than later, right?
Yeah, I think that's the key. It's going to take some sacrifice. You do have to start saving. If you start saving, you know, $100 a month only, and you're 20 years old, there's a, you know, well over a couple $100,000 difference, you know, in retirement than if you started saving $100 a month at 30 years old. I mean, so even that 10-year gap is huge. So the earlier you start, the more prudent your investments, you know, the more you're going to have. And every single one of my clients that is well off in retirement, they all say the same thing. You have to scrimp, you have to save, you have to be debt free. Retirement doesn't happen accidentally. And, well, let me rephrase that, Kerry. Successful retirement doesn't happen accidentally. If retirement happens accidentally, then it's probably not going to be something that you want to enjoy or you will enjoy for sure.
Yeah, well, look, I don't believe that I'm ever going to retire. Maybe in 10 years, 12 years when I'm 70, over 70, I'll feel differently about it. But I know I have a group of friends. We get together at the Starbucks most mornings, and the guys who have the sharpest minds are the guys who are still doing work. They might be semi-retired, but they're still active. The guys who I think aren't doing the best are the guys who are fully retired. You know, they might read the paper every day and, you know, stay up on news, but they just don't seem like they're challenged. And they seem to really be slowing down. Now, maybe I'm projecting a little bit, but it seems to me that you got to stay somewhat involved and engaged. But you should have the option, right?
Oh, absolutely. And it, you know, sounds like you've been listening to my radio show, because the words that you just said are exactly the words that I talk to retirees all day long. You know, I specialize in working with people that are pre-retired or retired, and I've consulted thousands of retirees or pre-retirees about what you just said. And it's absolutely critical that you stay active in retirement. And it doesn't mean active with a job. There are some people, you know, consultants that want to stay employed with their work and they want to keep working. And I would never discourage someone from continuing to work. If someone loves what they do, they want to keep working. You'll never hear it come out of my mouth that you should retire. I think you actually should work as long as you can, as long as you want, or when you retire, have something to retire to. You don't have to work, Carrie. You don't have to have necessarily a job, but you really should have a passion, a passion for helping the church, or a passion for ministry, or a passion for helping nonprofit organizations, or a hobby. You know, a lot of people in retirement love to travel. They'd like to get their motorhome and just travel the country. They like to fish. They like to, you know, a lot of times spend time with the grandkids. And if the grandkids are across the country, then they like to spend time traveling back and forth. And as long as there's a passion there, a desire to live, then that will dramatically keep you from getting old quicker. And I think that's very, very critical. So you're absolutely right.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So, but just playing golf or sitting on the terrace or watching TV on the internet, just not enough, is it?
Absolutely not. I mean, it's and I've seen people get old really quick. I've seen people that will retire at, you know, 65 years old, and as much as I hate to say it, I've seen them 5 years later die because they didn't have a drive, they didn't have a passion, and so I think it's absolutely critical to have that drive. And I generally find that there's two types of people in retirement. They can probably be categorized into two broad categories. There's a type of person that they get into retirement and they're bored. And that's what you and I are talking about here. That's what you want to avoid. You can only play so much cribbage or bridge, or, you know, you can only play so much golf. I mean, there's no passion. There's no reason behind it. It's just killing time, you know, and the most precious thing we have on this earth is time, right? Mm-hmm. But the other camp of people are the people that when they retire, they wonder how they ever found time for a job. And I hear that a lot. And I think that's where you want to be to live a longer, healthier life.
Yeah, well, I don't think I'm going to have that problem. But I would find stuff to do no matter what. I'm always busy. But I feel like work is the focal point of my life, and it's where I'm the best at what I do. Sure. But I do see that there are people who, when they do retire, they do feel that way. So I'm not sure about that. I gotta say, I don't know. I don't know about it. I can't picture it. I just can't picture being in that situation. But I guess it's something I'll have to deal with when I get there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Now you're talking about the situation of retiring to nothing, essentially. I mean, that's what you're referring to.
Yeah, well, I would do something. I mean, I'd have to do something.
But look at what you've already done. I mean, you've already, you know, decided, you've already had a successful law career. You decided you want to make a change for one reason or another. You know, now you're doing these podcasts, you're doing these shows, you're blogging. I mean, you know, bottom line is you're out there still following your passion. And when you're passionate about something, whether it's a hobby or whether it's a job or whether it's a career or just, you know, helping people, that's the driving motivating factor. So you seem like Absolutely. You already have that passion. You found it. A lot of people haven't found it. When they retire, they need to find it.
Yeah, well, I never had it in my work before. So how do you fit this in with a retirement plan, I guess, is really the question here, Anthony. Can you fit it in with a retirement plan? Is it the exceptional case, or is it just a pipe dream?
No, I mean, I think I think it depends on what you want your retirement to look like. You know, and certainly it depends on what age you are, how much time you have. If you're 60 years old, you know, you're going to have a whole lot less time to save and work and develop the retirement that you want than if you're 20 or 30 years old. I mean, there's really no question about that. But I think it starts by taking a realistic, you know, look at what your retirement, or what you would like your retirement to be. Now, if you want your retirement to be $1 million a year, tax-free cash flow, well, yeah, that's probably more of a pipe dream than it is reality. But if you want your retirement to be able to pay your bills, be able to travel or do some of your hobbies or passions, maybe be able to do something you like and find a way to get paid for it, that's something that a lot of retirees are doing at this point. You know, they're turning to eBay and they're selling stuff on eBay or selling stuff on, you know, on the internet. I mean, that's something you couldn't do before, just have a little part-time business. But the key to retirement is that it's about income. It's about cash flow. You must find a way to have your income greater than your expenses. So there's a buffer there that you can use for emergencies or you can use for whatever you want. And that's the key. When you're looking out 5 years to retirement or 10 years or 20 years to retirement, you need to know what your income is going to be and make sure that your expenses are going to be less than that income. So then you can live retirement of your dreams. And that's as simple as it gets. It's not easy to get there, I should say. But you have to have more positive income than you have outgo.
And everybody has a different dream for their retirement. I guess that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think your retirement, though, is your retirement. That's why, you know, we can't generically say how much income you're going to need for your retirement. You know, how much have you saved? You know, can you accomplish your retirement dreams? You know, people ask me that. You know, I'll go to church and they know I'm a financial advisor and someone will come up to me who I have no idea who they are. And they might ask me a question like, well, you know, am I going to be able to retire? I mean, literally, without me knowing anything about them, they'll ask me that kind of a question. And, you know, and I don't know. You know, I don't know the answer to that question, but when we sit down, we have to look at all income sources. We have to look at Social Security, and then we have to figure out the best way to take what your income is going to be. How do we take that over time so that we can maximize your income? You know, let's take Social Security, for example. There are hundreds of ways potentially to take Social Security. And if you take Social Security and you project out to say 90, you know, early 90s, as far as your life expectancy is concerned, and you take Social Security the wrong way, it may cost you $200,000 or $300,000 of lost income over your life expectancy if you live into your early 90s. And yet I find that most people make a decision about Social Security from what they hear from their neighbor in the cubicle next to them.
Yeah.
And there really has to be more of a structured plan for retirement. And if people would plan for retirement as much as they plan for the next vacation that they've got coming up and what they're going to do and where they're going to go, their retirements would be a lot more successful. But most people let retirement happen accidentally. And you can't do that. And the sooner you start, as we talked about earlier, the better.
Hey, that's such a great point. And so, like, little things like Social Security. My frequent guest, Professor Lawrence Kotlikoff, written a really extensive book on getting what's rightfully yours. So many people will take Social Security at 62 rather than at 66 or 70, and they wind up cheating themselves out of hundreds of thousands of dollars because they went for the earlier money. And if they had waited 4 years and worked those 4 years, they would have gotten another $1,000 a month more, $12,000 a year. If you last 10 years, it's $120,000 difference. I mean, little
That's
things
right.
like that.
Yeah, and I don't even know that that's a little thing. I actually think that's a huge thing. If you can get a lot more income by waiting, that makes sense. But there's different theories. I mean, there's different philosophies. The people that will start taking income at 62 are generally people that think, oh, Social Security is not going to be here. Social Security is going to, you know, go by the wayside. I don't believe that at all. When you look at the numbers, you know, right now the old age and survivor's disability insurance program is positively funded at this point. There's still positive cash flow coming into it at this point. And the projections indicate that by 2034, if nothing changes at all with the Social Security system, there's still going to be enough money to cover, I believe it is 79%, but somewhere around there, 79% of all the Social Security payments that are being made now, if nothing changes. Now, that means that there would have to be a 21% reduction in Social Security across the board, which wouldn't be good news if I'm going to call you up and say, hey, guess what? Your Social Security is going to be cut by 21%. But that's not what the media is reporting. You know, people are scared to death whether Social Security is going to be here or not. And that's not the question. It'll be here. It's just
what
are
the money
benefits
will be worth?
Be?
What will the money be worth? Will they inflate to fund the benefits, right? I mean,
that's,
isn't that it,
right.
Anthony?
And, you know, that's right. That's exactly right. And the reality is that there's a lot of different solutions for Social Security, and any one of them will work. But just like typical politics, you put something out 20 years, and the result doesn't get the solution doesn't get hammered out until 19 years and 6 months into it. I mean, that's the way it is. You can fix the problem. The problem is not that Social Security can't be fixed. The problem is that you know, getting the two parties together across the aisle to work together to actually come up with a solution. That's the problem. The problem is not that it's not able to be fixed. But that's a huge deal. And so the people that are taking it at 62, because of that, I think they're misled, as you noticed earlier. And they are cheating themselves for sure. Social Security is designed to break even at about 78 years old. So whether you take it at 62 or whether you take it at 70, 78 years old is about the break-even period. And that means that if you live beyond 78, then you're going to wish you had taken it at 70 years old because, number one, you're going to get a lot greater amount of money at 70 than you are going to be if you took it at 62. And number two, when you get your cost of living adjustments down the road, those cost of living adjustments, which on average have been 2.7% since Social Security began, those cost of living adjustments are on a larger amount. So you actually compound that. And right. It's just amazing. If you live past 78, you're really going to wish you took it at 70 years old.
Yeah. And you wind up getting a third more. Even myself, a baby boomer, gets slightly less than a third more. But I looked at my earnings statement. If I retire at age 66 and a third years, or two-thirds, I don't remember which it is, because being a baby boomer, they've pretty much figured out how to screw us. I will get the difference between $2,600 a month and $3,500 a month. So it's easy enough to do the math without doing the compounding, and the difference is substantial. So all these things need to be taken into account, as well as your savings program, which you should have. It's funny, when my son graduated from college, we went around the table. It was at the behest, I think, of my future son-in-law, who said, you know, everybody give Brandon one piece of advice. And, I don't remember what everyone else said, but what I told him was, look, the only piece of advice I can give you is start saving right now. Don't wait. And evidently the kid listened to me, because he's saving 20% of his after-tax income. And I was impressed as heck when I heard that. And when the kid's not a high liver at all and he's making a decent income, he lives in Texas, so he pays no state income tax. I was really impressed when I heard that. So, this kid will, who knows, maybe he'll be able to retire or leave the workforce when he's 50. But you can't start saving early enough, and that's what the millennials should know. Even if it's $10 a week, any amount of savings will really turn into a lot over time.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And you've got to develop that habit. And the challenge is today is the habit of saving is really diametrically opposed to the entire system that is trying to get you not only to not save, not only to just spend money, but to borrow to spend money. And so all the ads that you watch out there, all the credit card ads with the 0% down and, and all that, and especially with low interest rates, it becomes very easy to justify taking on a credit card expense because you're going to get no interest for the next 12 months. But the credit card companies are smart. They know that, you're not going to get that paid off in 12 months. At least most people aren't. And so not only, is it a habit that you want to start to develop, to start saving, but you also have to make sure to not get sucked into the habit of using credit cards to buy stuff that is not necessary. You have to have credit cards in a society to live. I mean, you can't rent a car without a credit card. You can't get a hotel room without a credit card. But having that in your pocket when you happen to see something that's on sale or something that you just got to have, and next thing you know, you're $5,000 or $10,000 in debt on that credit card, and it's not, now you can't save because everything you would be saving is going to go to the credit card payment. And there are people that live life like that, and it's a horrible way to live. It's a fantastic way to make sure that life costs you 20 or 25% more than it should every month because you're having to pay interest.
Yeah, absolutely. So, hey, Anthony, we got to get moving now. Just tell us where we find out about you, connect with you on the web?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the best place to do that is to go right to our website. My firm is Providence Financial. We're located in Woodland Hills, California. Our web address is Providence Financial Inc. Providencefinancialinc.com, providencefinancialinc.com. And from there, you can look us up on Facebook. A couple times a month, I'll do a market update on YouTube. You can follow us on YouTube, LinkedIn. We tweet. Pretty much however you want to connect with us, it starts on the homepage of my website, providencefinancialinc.com.
All right. And any questions, comments, send me an email, kl@carrylutz.com. That's kl@carrylutz.com. And check out our site, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Sign up for a newsletter. Got one coming out today called The Workaholic and Chief. I think you're really going to enjoy it. Trump is the first workaholic president since LBJ. And while you're at it, hey, take a look at our Facebook page, Financial Survival Network, and Twitter feed is @CarryLutz. Anthony, thanks so much for joining us today, and we'll talk to you again soon. Be well.
Thank you, Carrie. Great being here.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.